Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Political position. All right, gang. Welcome to our Daily Bread. It's Friday, and looking forward to a weekend with you through our services, our church services. We celebrate Mother's Day, and you know, we talked about how mothers really represent, fathers represent the father heart of God, but mothers really represent the Holy Spirit and that dimension of God, the triune Holy Trinity, including the Holy Spirit, is really where the whole concept of mother came from, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our helper, our encourager. He's the closest to us. You know, our mothers are that. And so I honor all of you mothers as we celebrate Mother's Day. And it's like you weren't a second idea. You weren't like, oh, we're going to need another idea, like maybe a mother. The mother was always God's idea. It was always inside of God's spirit. Remember when God created Adam and Eve, he created them male and female. He created them. First, he created man, and then he took Eve out from man, out from Adam, and she was always inside of him. So it was always God's idea. And really the truth is what you need is always inside of you. Now that you're born again, when you're a child of God, what you need is always inside of you. The helpmate for Adam was always inside of him. And the Holy Spirit is that helpmate in our lives. And I think our mothers best exemplify that aspect of God. Our fathers are to reflect the aspect of the fatherhood of God, and our mothers are supposed to reflect the Holy Spirit of God, the encourager, the teacher, the one who reminds you. Remember we talked about that? She's the one who always reminds you of the things you need to do or to remember. Don't forget your coat. Don't forget to turn the light on. Don't forget to, you know, clean out your ears when you go to college, whatever. The mother is always reminding us, and the Holy Spirit is reminding us what God's word has already said. So we're going to have a great time celebrating the Holy Spirit, celebrating you, celebrating your moms. And for those of you that are going through a tough time during Mother's Day, it's a time to remember that God hasn't forgotten. God knows that you suffered growing up. God knows that if you were abused, God knows, and he's going to heal you. And this is an opportunity to open your heart up to him and for him to mother you and for him to father you and for him to heal you wherever you're hurting. So I got a word though for you today that I want to focus on. I'm still offering this book as my gift to you. The Precious Promises of the Blood of Jesus. It's not going to be the content that I share today, as I'm just trying to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in my life as well for you. But I just want to shout out some of you guys, Nellie and Cindy, thanks for watching, and Shell and Andrea and Carmelita, and Brenda and Robert, appreciate you guys. Andrea, another Pamela, Denise, Suzanne, Sam, love you guys. Brittany, Iris, thanks for watching. Tyra, thank you so much for being online today. Julie and Alberia, Cindy, Christy, Terry, woo! Wow, you guys, blowing me away, all your faithfulness and connection here, and we're coming together and experiencing something really great here. So Northern California, Joanne, Terry, Cheryl from Michigan, Dawn from Nevada, don't gamble your life away, Dawn over there, Finn, oh, nothing's open, so you won't have to worry about that. Betty, welcome, Diana, Kim, and so many more, Cindy. Okay, let me get to the content of what I want to share with you today, and then we can pray together, because I want us to meet every day and pray every day. And no matter how long or how short you can last on this few moments with me, our daily bread, take a few moments and just focus on God's love for you, and focus on that God is speaking to you. Focus on the fact that God always provides for whatever we need whenever we need it. And so one of our themes, one of my themes for the last 20 years of my life has come from a passage of scripture that we started when this pandemic started. I shared this with you that Jesus said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. And I want to drill down on something about that passage because I want you to hear a prophetic word that I believe is for us in this time. So Jesus gets in the boat, says, let us go to the other side. And you know the things that you've heard me teach on how when Jesus got in the boat, he had perfect rest, right? Why did he have perfect rest? Because he had already spoken the word, we're going to the other side. Now, that didn't stop a storm from hitting. The God's word didn't stop the storm from coming. God's word got Jesus and the disciples through the storm. I want you to see that so often, and I know that I don't know how dead the horse can be beaten, but I'm sure I've beaten it pretty good in the beat a dead horse concept world. But we sometimes try to order our life and we try to arrange our life around a storm-free existence. We're trying so hard to stop storms. Now, there are some storms we bring on ourselves by bad decisions. That's a different topic. You can stop those by making better decisions. But then there are storms that life brings. There are storms that people bring. There are storms that viruses bring. There are storms that devils try to bring. There are storms that others bring to us. And we cannot live a life in constant crisis mode of trying to stop the storms. God wants us to instead have peace in the midst of the storm, as Jesus did. And that's not just my point. I'm going somewhere because I want to get over to the other side. I'm going to tell you what's on the other side of this prophetically so that you hear that there's a reason Jesus said, let us go to the other side. It wasn't just to endure the storm. The lesson is not, there is a great lesson there of what to do in the midst of a storm and what to do in the midst of a crisis. But the lesson continues with when Jesus said, let us go to the other side. What was it on the other side? What was God making them ready for? And what is God making you ready for on the other side of this? So we're in the midst of a crisis, such as most of us have never, well, we've never experienced this before, and the efforts and the measures that have been taken for this particular crisis. But we have so much to learn in this, and there's so much God's wanting to teach us. And I think that in everything that you ever go through, you have to look for the good, right? That's perspective. You have to look for the good. That's what keeps you humble, keeps your heart tender, it keeps you soft-hearted, it keeps you in humility, it keeps you in gratefulness and gratitude. You always look for the good. There's always good that you can look for in something. However, there's always bad in life. There's always bad in life. There's always devils. There's a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. This is not, we are not on this in this life to sanitize the world. We can't sanitize the world. The world is dirty. The world is bad in many cases. So you have to look for the good in the world. The world is bad because Adam sinned. It's not because of something you did recently that God decided he's going to judge all of creation and wipe out the sick people among us. Jesus heals the sick among us. He doesn't wipe out the sick among us. He heals the sick among us. So this is not God sending viruses and God sending things. But there's a good that you can find in this. And there is God in the storm. There is good in the storm and there is God in the storm. So, and we have to look for good and we have to look for God. What is God trying to teach us? Because we can ram things through and we can ram our agenda through. We can ram what we want it to be like. We want things to be like they were. Well, really? Do we really want things to be like they were? I don't. want things to be like they were. I want people to go back to work. I want church to be able to gather. I want people to be healthy and people to be healed. But I don't want what I had before when God has something for me on the other side of this. I don't want to, our goal is not to get back to what life was. Our goal is to get forward to what life can be. You see, it's not, oh, now we have to get used to living with masks and now we have to get used, that's the new normal. That's the superficial, that's the shallow, that's an accommodation for a season. That's we're accommodating things in our society and our culture for a season. But there's something greater, there's a new normal that is greater than the superficial new normal. So I'm not talking about the world's new normal. I'm talking about the new season that God has in your life and what God is preparing you for now. This is why it's so important to stay connected, because this is what daily bread is for. You need to consume the bread daily so that you're building a healthy lifestyle of intake of God's word. I mean, think about it. You and me, with yeast and with Namazico and Pamela and all the guys and gals that are on right now, and Giatimi and Andrea, whew, had an English one there. Thank you to interrupt the flow of the international. But I love the international flow. Love you guys so much. There's something great that God has for us on the other side of this, and God's interested in getting that lesson across. God's interested in speaking to you, and we wouldn't be gathering, as I was mentioning before, I interrupted myself. We wouldn't be gathering daily like this for 15, 20 minutes or whatever it is. We wouldn't be doing this if this hadn't happened. So this is something good that has come out of this. We wouldn't take the measures that we've taken to protect the one life that matters. Every life matters. The one life that matters, we wouldn't be taking the time to reflect on that. We probably would have, ignored. Many of us maybe would have ignored the brutal murder that took place a couple months ago in Georgia that is caught fire, and this precious kid that was killed. We probably wouldn't be able to pause and reflect on that and say, "That's not normal." That's not normal. What's happened in Chicago, the killings that have taken place, the shootings that have taken place for years that has gone unresolved, that's not normal. God wants us to come out of this on the other side better. God wants us to come out of this on the other side with more power. God wants us to come out of this on the other side with more compassion. God wants us to come out of this on the other side. See, and what is happening that maybe wouldn't have happened? Churches are spreading out and reaching people that they never would have reached. We're learning technology that maybe we never would have learned. Some of us older people are learning to give online. We're learning to watch online, let alone give online. In something that we probably never would have done when we were writing checks and dropping them in the offering bucket. I'm not trying to minimize anything that's happened that's tragic, but we have to look for the good, and we have to look for God. We have to look for the good, and we have to look for the God. Where is God in this? What is he trying to teach us? What do we have an opportunity to learn from him? So, as you've heard me say many times, in a crisis, the first thing that I strongly urge everyone to do in any crisis is take inventory of what you have. Like, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what has he given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. And so that inventory list, for those of you who have worked in stores or in retail or owned businesses, you understand, we're going to pray for your businesses. We're going to pray for your finances. We're going to pray for, you know, because if we need to continue to do what we're doing to save lives without other lives being cost, that's the goal. The balance is, you know, not causing more tragedy in people's lives that isn't just economic, but it's social and love and community and the ability to gather and the ability to visit sick ones and the ability to live, you know, to have funerals and home goings for people in a way that truly honors them, right? We don't want people suffering with depression and suicidal and being pushed to the edge because of their finances or because of the isolation or because. So you understand we're trying to balance two very, you know, bad and worse than or less than bad scenarios here. So we have to have faith and wisdom, which is what I've been telling you from the beginning. Faith and wisdom. Faith in God's protection, faith in God's promises, faith in God's power and his love, faith in his presence in our lives, and wisdom. Not faith or wisdom, and wisdom, protecting the vulnerable, learning how to navigate through a world full of germs that we didn't really think much of before. So faith and wisdom. But we're going to the other side here, okay? And I'm trying to get there. I'm just having to stop along the way to remind us of the breadcrumbs that the Lord has left, that we need to follow the trail. We need to follow the trail of God's goodness. We need to follow the trail of God's promise. We need to follow the trail of what's on the other side of this, okay? So we know that the disciples, real quick to summarize this so I can get to the other side with you, we know that when Jesus was awakened by the disciples, the storm didn't wake him. His disciples woke him up. The storm didn't wake him up. Storms don't have to control your life. Jesus had peace in the midst. Jesus had rest in the midst of the storm. But, and like I said, this is the theme for my life for the last 20 years, and the theme that as soon as this crisis started, the first thing I said is we're going to the other side. And I want it to be the first thing you say about anything. We're going to the other side, because what is that? That represents a promise from God. Jesus gave them a promise. Then Jesus was in the boat with them, so they had his presence. So they had his promise, they had his presence. This is, do an inventory. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what has he given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind, that's the inventory of what you need to overcome fear. And this is what you need to make it through the crisis. So they had the promise from God. We're going to the other side. They had the presence of God. Jesus in the boat with them. We forget sometimes. Man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what got them through the fiery furnace was not the guys turning the fire down. What got them through the fiery furnace was not them bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar. What got them through the fiery furnace was not that the fire wasn't that bad. What got them through the fiery furnace was not that they avoided the fire altogether. What got them through the fiery furnace was the fourth man in the fire. That's what got them through the fiery furnace. Nothing else got them through. It wasn't because it wasn't hot enough. The guys that turned the heat up, while they were turning the heat up to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there, they were burned. Like, I'm talking about Avenger style. I'm talking about Thanos. Boom, poof, gone. In an instant, the fire just, and all you could see was the particles of those guys disappearing into the sky. That's how hot the fire was. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in there. And what was the difference? The difference was the fourth man. What was the difference for these three men, the fourth man? What's the difference for the disciples? They had the man. They had the fourth man in the boat, right? They had Jesus in the boat. And they sometimes we think, why isn't God doing something about this? And we're constantly trying to wake God up. Wait, hey, God, don't you know we're going through a crisis? Don't you know we're going through a virus? Don't you know we're going through this? Don't you know we're going through that? Don't you know I'm going through a financial? You don't have to wake God up. He's with you in the storm. He's with you in the fire. He's with you in the pandemic. He's with you in the financial crisis you might be facing. He's with you in all of these times. And he's with you in all of these things. So why? What's on the other side of this? Oh, don't forget, they had the promise of God. We're going to the other side. They had the presence of God, Jesus in the boat with them. They had the power of God. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. They could have said to the storm, peace be still. Or they could have slept with Jesus and left it up to him to make a way to the other side. Because he said, we're going to the other side. So they had his promise, they had his presence, and they had his power. But what I want you to see, and really my whole message today, my whole bread, loaf of bread today, is to get you to start looking for the good and looking for the God in the crisis. And what is God wanting to say to us? Because if we ram ourselves through this and just end up just like we were, what was the point? We saved some people, but we stayed the same, and we stayed divisive, and we stayed politically charged, and we stayed, we stayed with our struggling, with our struggle through race and our struggle through politics, the two things that they say, don't ever talk about these two things. Don't ever talk about race. Don't ever talk about politics. Why can't we talk about these things from God's point of view? He hates racism. He hates division. So when there's division, we got problems. When there's hatred and discrimination against anybody, we got problems. And those things need to be solved. And those things need to be addressed. And the church needs to not be silent about that. I'm definitely not silent about those things. I believe that there's only one way to overcome racism, and that's what changes people on the inside, is the spirit of God's love and the spirit of freedom from inferiority, which is what makes people act superior, because they feel inferior, so they behave as a superior when they really need to just realize everybody's equal. And the thing that about politics is, nobody's completely right about how to handle this crisis. Nobody's completely right about how to handle our taxes. Nobody's completely right. So you have a business-minded, financial-focused people on one side. You have compassion-minded and hopefully human rights and human health perspective. You have that perspective on that side. Neither of those are complete without each other. Neither of those are right without each other. So and we only hear the extremes. We forget most of us are more in the middle when it comes to politics. Most of us are in the middle. And most of us are not the extremes on either side, but that's what gets reported so much. And so what conquers fear, which is what creates inferiority and which what creates violence, is love. Love never fails. Love never fails. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. We are not being very sound-minded in life right now. We are not thinking correctly in our lives. And this is what we need to adjust and correct, is the goal isn't let's stay in our houses for the rest of our lives. And the goal is not let's go running out and expose people. The goal is love. The goal is getting souls saved. And the goal is there's something on the other side of this for you. Here it is. Mark chapter 5. After they came through the storm in chapter 4, verse 39. Jesus said to the wind and the sea, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you guys so timid? Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? And they became very much afraid, like as if they weren't already. It says, verse 41, they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Chapter 5, verse 1. And they came to the other side. What did they start? What did Jesus start out with? We're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. Hey, we're going to the other side of this pandemic. Hey, we're going to the other side of racism. Hey, we are going to the other side of political division. Hey, we're going to the other side of this economic trial and crisis. We are going to the other side. You hear me? And notice verse 1, and they came to the other side. Shouldn't be surprising. Jesus said we're going to the other side, and they came to the other side. Listen, this is what I want you to get ready for. Chapter 5, verse 1 is going to happen in all of our lives. Chapter 5, verse 1 is going to happen in all of our lives. We are going to get to the other side. But we need to realize that God is trying to make us ready for what we're going to face on the other side. Everything that happened in chapter 4 was to prepare them, and Jesus is living out this illustrated sermon. Everything that happens in chapter 4 is to prepare them for chapter 5. Everything you're hearing today and over the last 40 days or however long we've been in this is to get you ready for what's on the other side of this. Not for us to go back to the way things were. Not for us to face race problems the way we did and face economic problems the way we did and face social problems the way that we did, with the division and the divisiveness and the hatred and the anger and the fear and the rancor coming from all different positions. The bitterness, the fear, the this stuff is from the devil. So they came to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, or Gerasenes. And it says, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had been dwelling in the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. I'm going to tell you something. What's on the other side of this? When we get to the other side, which we're going and we're well on our way, when we get to the other side, you know what's on the other side? A person. A person. A person with problems. A person with demons. A person who's in bondage. A person who's living among the dead. A person who's been chained. A person who nobody can help until we get there. We're going to the other side, and what's on the other side is not our destiny. It's not our prosperity. It's not our way of doing things. It's not convincing anybody of our opinion. What's on the other side of this is a person waiting for you and me to get to the other side. And that person is been afflicted and oppressed. And what I want you to look for on the other side of this is a person. Every one of us is going to have a person on the other side of this that you're supposed to reach. A person on the other side of this that you're supposed to help. You can only understand life when you understand the Bible. You can't understand life until you understand the Bible is life. It is the source of all life. And they go through the storm. They get to the other side. And I want you to see something. As soon as Jesus came out of the boat, a man met him. As soon as we get to the other side, you're going to meet somebody that needs you, that needs what you learned. You learned about the promises of God. You learned about the presence of God. You learned about, if we don't learn these things, we won't be ready when we meet that person on the other side. If we don't learn these things, we won't be able to help heal the person on the other side. As soon as he came out of the boat, this man, this demon-possessed man, you know, with a legion of demons. And I won't take the time to teach through this exorcism that takes place here, because Jesus literally ends up casting the devil out of this person. But I want you to see, it says in verse, after he cast the devil out of him, the man was healed. And verse 18, verse 17, and they began to entreat him to depart from the region. Verse 18, and as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was entreating him that he might accompany him. Whoa, there's a lot that I've skipped over, and I'll come back to some of it tomorrow maybe. But after this man was delivered and set free, Jesus gets back in the boat and he's going back to the other side. In other words, all that he learned, all that his disciples had learned, all that he was trying to teach them, all that he was trying to accomplish was to get to the other side for one soul, for one person. God cares so much about the one soul. He cares so much about the one person. He cares so much about the one life. He cares so much about the one with demons, the one who is in the tombs, the one who is oppressed, the one who's in chains, the one who's in bondage, the one who nobody can control, nobody can stop. There are so many sick people. There's so many broken people. There's so much mental illness. There's so much physical illness. There's so much demonic illness. There's so much hate illness, the illness of hate, that somebody's got to get to the other side of something so they have something to give to who you're going to meet on the other side. That God cares about one person that much should tell you something about the value of life. That he cares. I get it. We got the different points of view. This virus will kill more people if we don't do this. Or the crash or the suffering through the economy will kill more people through emotional suffering and leads to death and heart attacks and stress. Both are right. So what's the point? The point is learn to find the good and learn to find the God so that you can get to the other side, because you are going to find a person that is going to need the good that you found. And on the other side, you're going to find a person that's going to need the God that you found. And I don't want you to get to the other side and not be ready. And it says, verse 19, but Jesus did not let this man get in the boat with him, but he said, go home. Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion and mercy on you. The man who was demon-possessed was set free because God cared about one person enough to send a whole boat to get him. And then when Jesus gets back in the boat to go back to the other side, the man who was set free wants to go with Jesus, and Jesus tells him to go home and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. You know what we haven't learned yet that we still have an opportunity to learn? And I'm not saying I like the stay-at-home thing. I'm not saying that I agree with the president or the governor. I'm not saying any of that. I agree with God. It's the only person I know all the facts are true from God, and I don't even know all the facts from God, but I know whatever facts he's got are true, right? But you know what we have an opportunity still to do since we're going home and we're staying at home? You know what we have an opportunity to do? Heal our homes. Heal our homes. Let's not see our homes as a prison. Let's see our homes as where the healing needs to happen now, so that on the other side, we'll be able to heal who we're going to meet then. What's missing in all of this is that we've been given an opportunity. Don't get me wrong, I hate anybody dying and any bit of tragedy. I hate it. I don't want anybody sick. I don't want it. But we're the church, and we can heal the sick. And God wants us to come together again soon, where we will, and we are coming together online, and we will always stay online, but we will be on site at some point soon. And when that happens, we will have needed to learn to have God in our home, to have God in our house, to have joy in our home, to have church in our home, to have healing in our home, to get delivered from grumbling and complaining and negativity in our home. Because once you can get healed, once you can heal the home, you can heal the world. If you can't heal the home, you can't heal the soul that's on the other side of this. And so I want us to take advantage and take a peek at what Jesus told this guy when he said, I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to travel with you. I want to do all these great things. And he said, go home. Go home and tell them how good God is. And proclaim, he said, what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy. My God, if we don't learn anything, we need to learn this one thing: mercy. Mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God's throne of grace is a place we can go and find mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We need to have mercy on people. We need to let go of the gas pedal that's on hate, and the gas pedal that's on proving we're right, and the gas pedal on proving our political position, and proving that everybody's this way and people are that way, and categorizing people. What we need to learn, what this man, he said, go, Jesus said, go and tell what great things Jesus has done for you and what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. God has had mercy on you, and then you're judging somebody else. Whoa. Remember the guy that was forgiven of the little amount of money, and then he went out and he demanded, he was forgiven of a great amount of money. I get this wrong all the time. Dyslexic in my parables. But reverse that, right? Ready? He was forgiven of so much that there was no way he could have ever paid it back, and he was forgiven this huge amount by the master. And then once forgiven, he went and was owed a little amount compared to this amount that he owed and was forgiven, a little amount, and he wouldn't forgive the guy, but he threw him in jail and had no mercy on him. You've been forgiven of so much. God's had mercy on you. Your attitude, your divisiveness, your anger, your fear, your negativity deserves to be judged, but God has had mercy. My negativity, my sins, all of my crap deserves to be judged, but God has had mercy on you, and God has had mercy on me. Let's have mercy, because mercy triumphs. Mercy prevails. Mercy wins. Mercy is what God showed this man. Mercy is what we need to show each other. Mercy is what we need to show our nation and show our world. And then the gospel is going to spread like fire all over the world, because we'll stop being called the judgmental people, the religion of judgment. All those Christians, they judge, they think they're better. Mercy. I see on people's Facebook, I see so much lack of mercy. I see so much opinion and so much pushing, and no one's even, you know, only the people that already agree with you are the only people that are reading your crap. It's mercy. Mercy. Like, take a deep breath and thank God for the mercy that he's had towards you, not judging you the way you deserve, but he put it all on Jesus. That's mercy. And the next person you meet, be merciful to them. And the next person that you disagree with, be merciful to them. And the next person that gets mad at you and tries to shove their politics or their corona knowledge or their conspiracy theories or their self-righteousness on you, have mercy. Have mercy. His mercy is new every morning, and his faithfulness never comes to an end. Have mercy on one at a time. Hey, I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a revelation of what's on the other side of this. And thank you for getting us to the other side. We have your promise. We have your presence. We have your power. We have your peace. And now, Lord, awaken us to the purpose that you have for us on the other side of this. And give every person the revelation of your mercy and your loving kindness, your love that never fails. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I hope you receive that. We'll see you tomorrow on this one-on-one, and then Sunday at one of our services. Thanks for being with me and spending the time. Let me get all that out. I got the fish out of my aquarium. I'm good now. God bless. Love you guys.